Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute. He is traveling. He's in the Middle East, but we're commenting on a series of episodes, opinions, remarks, coincidences since the Geneva meeting between President Putin and President Biden to discuss the differences between the two nuclear superpowers. And we've come to, again, Ukraine and a subset of Ukraine, Crimea. Anatole, I interrupted you, forgive me, but I remark that I believe the provocation, if that's what it was by Defender, was directed exactly at Crimea, which was never part of the Minsk agreements, which was never part of a settlement where there would be an exchange of ambassadors or opinions about the border. I believe that Russia, as you have identified, now regards Crimea as sovereign territory, not to be given up. NATO knows this. Washington knows this. And therefore, we're in a quandary. I believe history throws these up every once in a while. The last one I can remember was Alsace-Lorraine, and I don't think we've settled that one either, Anatole.
No, indeed. But the thing about this issue is it's just going to have to be one of these issues which is shelved, like the issue of Kosovo independence, you know, where the majority of the world doesn't recognize Kosovo independence. We do. Until we can find some eventual quid pro quo or the whole shape of international geopolitics changes, there is nothing practically to be done about Crimea. It was, by the way, I think one should always remind people, part of Russia until 1956, when the Soviet government transferred it to Ukraine. So, you know, there is a certain Russian case also under international law. But the main thing is there is no point. There is certainly a point in saying we don't recognize the Russian annexation. But why? What the point is of these symbolic gestures, I do not understand, if there is some desire for a normalization of relations. Because, as I say, people in Washington, London, Brussels must have known that there was going to be a harsh Russian response. And, of course, the other thing is you can't really separate out issues in this way. It's possible to disagree on certain things while, you know, trying to reach compromise on others, like nuclear arms control. But what it isn't possible to do is actually to stir up crises in one area and expect that it will not have an effect in other areas. You know, one sees that with China. You know, the Chinese actions in Xinjiang and Hong Kong, in theory should not affect wider relations with the U.S., but in practice, of course, they do. They worsen the overall atmosphere.
What we have here is then a challenge for the U.S. in particular, but I ask you to help me with Europe. Germany now has banned Russian travel, but that has to do with the virus. Germany is anxious about travel from Britain, too, so I don't see that particularly critical. I do understand, though, that Europe wants to work with Russia. At the same time, the U.S. does not make it easy for Europe to work with Russia. So what is your measure? Is Europe an arbiter in this? Can Europe negotiate in some fashion between Moscow and Washington, or am I being too utopian? Have I fallen back to Metternich?
Well, Europe can to an extent, but of course Europe is very divided. The French and Germans, you know, wanted a summit with Putin at which they would discuss things which, frankly, you know, should be neutral. Or, you know, there could be some disagreement, but also plenty of room for agreement. Climate change, COVID, the Arctic. And this was blocked by the East Europeans in particular, or some of the East Europeans and Swedes, on the grounds that you shouldn't talk to Russia about anything. Well, you know, that I think is profoundly stupid. You know, there are issues of critical importance for humanity, the melting of, you know, the Arctic permafrost, for one. The Germans and French never said that they were going to recognize Russian annexation of Crimea or the Donbass or you know, approve of Putin's, you know, domestic political authoritarianism. You know, they just wanted to try and get relations on enough of an even keel that you could discuss some practical measures of universal importance. So, but I fear the lesson of that is you see that Europe is a divided continent. I mean, let's say the European Union is.
Yes.
With countries with very, very different...
We have just 1 minute. I would like you to measure, because this will continue all summer long in our conversation. I would like you to measure. Do you see the disagreement between the West and Russia as deepening, as worsening, or am I cherry picking? We just have 30 seconds.
It's definitely worsening at the moment, but you know, we're not going to go to war with Russia. These were symbolic gestures in the Black Sea, and so if both sides could cool down a bit, I think there's still the possibility of bringing relations back to some kind of cold but normal stability.
Anatol Levin, it's the Quincy Institute. We're overwhelmed with the cascade of events that suggest deepening alienation between Moscow and Washington. To be continued. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.